This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. Hour two. I'm Patrick Maher. Dustin Sweetelson live downtown Las Vegas at the Dean. You can't make this up. So we're involved in some early baseball in the desert. And again, the big guy had a tremendous handicap on the Diamondbacks, and we're fine. I went under 8.5. He went with the Snakes. I laid $1.19. It's all good. Conversation during the break. Is this a safe space? I said, of course it is, Dustin. And he said, Pete Alonso stinks. When I tell you that 3 minutes later, he had a 500-foot bomb to dead center, I'm not making it up, as the Mets lead 1-0. Where did I tell a lie?
I said he stinks. I said I'd rather have Christian Walker as the first baseman next year. And I look up and a ball is just flying to a part of a ballpark that I didn't even know you could hit it to. It was so far.
The other one, and I don't know how many of you, I'm a degenerate, so obviously I'm involved in La Liga, which is Spanish professional football, for those that care. And I think most people at this point have heard of Real Madrid. And Real Madrid is at Las Palmas today. And Las Palmas is a team that nobody's ever heard of. Real Madrid hasn't lost in La Liga a road game in 18 matches. They trail in the 28th minute, 1-0 to Las Palmas. That's just for my soccer heads, because that is pretty wild. Okay, we mentioned a full slate of college football tonight. And with that, we're going to talk to Brian Howell coming up in 29 minutes. He is on the Colorado Buffalo beat down in Boulder. So looking forward to that conversation, because I'm dubious about this Colorado team this year. It feels a little desperate the way Deion has been acting. Now, the North Dakota State Colorado number has adjusted. Yesterday, it was Colorado laying 9.5, and Deion's going to be a publicly bet figure. And anytime you have an FBS team in Colorado taking on an FCS team in North Dakota State, the later money, for the most part, public money coming in is going to be on Colorado. So we've seen that number jump yesterday, 9.5 up to 10.5. I think 10.5 is a gift. I may walk in here tomorrow if we're allowed to and have egg on my face, but we shall see what happens with North Dakota State and Colorado coming up tonight. So we're going to have Brian Howell joining us on the program. Also, somebody does a really good job covering college football. Bill Bender from the Sporting News is going to join, talk about the week one slate in college football, and Aaron Halterman to join as well. Let's transition to a game that I find to be quite interesting, and that is Coastal. So Coastal Carolina is at Rich Rod and Jacksonville State. Okay, this number right now, DraftKings just went from 3.5 down to 3. We're showing 3 on our board, but I can assure you most shops are showing 3.5. And I like the 3. I like the 3.5. Do I love the 3 with Jacksonville State more than the 3? Yeah, absolutely. And there's a couple of reasons. One, I still don't understand necessarily. I know it's money, but Jamie Chadwell, not last year, the year before, left Coastal and went to Liberty. And then Grayson McCall just transferred to NC State. Those are two big misses. Now, first-year head coach did a very good job last year kind of settling the ship at Coastal. But there are questions, Dustin, this year for Coastal, and it starts at the quarterback position. We still don't know if it's going to be the Michigan State transfer. We don't know who's going to be starting this game. On the other side, and it's a guy that I like to bet specifically early in the year, because most know that Rich Rod likes to trick it up a little bit with his offense. And their inaugural season in Conference USA was tremendous. First year in the FBS for Jacksonville State, went 9-4 under Rich Rod. Now the starters returning, you've got 5 on offense for Jacksonville State and 4 starters on defense. But this is a run-heavy offense. It clicks on all cylinders when he's got it going well. And Jacksonville State should have a strong offensive line and a rush attack. And as far as Coastal, you know, stopping the run last year, they were a little leaky. I think just to start, I'll take the tricky offense. I'll take Jacksonville State and Rich Rod laying the 3 hosting Coastal tonight.
Yeah, if I was taking a side, I would be backing Jacksonville State. I thought they were really impressive last year, despite some of the issues they had throwing the football. Their quarterback, Zion Webb, played 7 years. He's gone, but they needed him for the transition coming up to this level, you know, in a power or FBS level, not power four, group of 5. They brought in another Zion Turner from UConn to play quarterback, but I think we're going to get Logan Smothers. Smothers played a lot in a backup role a year ago. Nebraska transfer. He can really run the football, but this team has issues throwing the ball. That's the big thing here. They love to run it. Did you know they average 49.8 rush attempts per game? That is more than Army, Navy, and only fewer than Air Force in the FBS level. They ran 63% of the time, which was the sixth highest rate in all of FBS. So I look at that. I see ball control. I see the clock moving. I see under in this one because also a year ago, this defense was tremendous. Now, they lost a few of those pieces, but the scheme is still there. And they allow just 2.8 yards per pop on the ground, fourth in FBS. Success rate, 13th with facing the run, 26th finishing drives. I think this defense, which was the best at getting to the quarterback in Conference USA and just allowed 21.2 points per game, I think it's going to be able to slow up a coastal offense that's working in new quarterbacks. Who knows? Maybe we see both of those quarterbacks, Kim and Vasco, for the Chanticleers. I'm going to go under 55 in this one.
Okay. Good one. That's actually a pretty good matchup. I think the under is a nice play, but I do like Jacksonville State. If you can find a three, in my opinion, it's a gift. I'd even alt them. So lay it with Jacksonville State. Okay, let's transition to a big matchup with the ACC and Big Ten, and that is North Carolina at Minnesota. A couple things to start here. Weather could impact this game tonight in Minnesota. Now, North Carolina, Chapel Hill put the beat down on PJ Fleck in Minnesota last year, but thunderstorms, Dustin, expected in Minnesota throughout the game tonight, bringing with them. So again, wind, rain's not necessarily, when you're talking about football and handicapping, rain, coaches will always tell you, rain's not what we're concerned with. We're concerned with wind. And once you get past that 10-mile-an-hour threshold, it's where we start to see an impact on the game. Winds could approach in Minnesota tonight 15 miles per hour. Again, that's kind of that threshold where you look for the game to be impacted. On top of that, now they didn't have an offensive passing game at all last year, and that is PJ Fleck in Minnesota. But he prefers to run the ball and row the boat. Anyway, Minnesota returns four starters across that offensive front and its best running back in Darius Taylor. I'm just not sold on North Carolina. There are questions at quarterback. We did see this number, Dustin, touch 2.5 yesterday. North Carolina is still favored on the road. Minnesota, I just told you why. I'm not overly concerned about Max Brosmer, who's transferred from New Hampshire, as far as throwing the football, because PJ Fleck, especially early in the year, is going to be conservative. I think they're going to try to run the football with rain and wind predicted. I think Minnesota's going to win this game outright. I'll take the two.
There was some movement in this. You know, North Carolina opened as a dog. Now they're a two-point favorite. I got minus 126 on them. I just think when we need points late, right, this could be a close game for most of three quarters. But when you need to find points, I don't have a lot of confidence in the skill guys for Minnesota. I don't know if there's more weapons on the North Carolina side of things. Max Johnson's been through it before, although he's a vagabond. He's traveling around LSU, A&M, 22 starts, 5,900 yards, 47 TDs. But Omarion Hampton on the ground's an absolute beast. 1,500 rush yards a year ago, 15 touchdowns. And they bring back a lot of help at wide receiver led by J.J. Jones, who had 700 yards last year. For me, looking at Brosmer coming up from New Hampshire, questions about the other guys helping him out at this level because he's going to need them to. And he's going to take on a North Carolina defense that's now led by Jeff Collins, the former Georgia Tech head coach. I think he's going to get looks that he's never seen before from athletes that have closed in like he's never experienced before. Because of that, I do like North Carolina to win a close one. That's why I went money line and I'm not laying two.
Do you have the splits on this one?
I'll get
because
it.
I do feel like I'm on an island with Minnesota. I'll back it up a little bit. PJ Fleck has gone 5-1 outright in home openers at Minnesota. Now, last year, 52 weeks ago, he had a 13-10 win over Rule in Nebraska. And by the way, the one loss in PJ Fleck's home opener as the Minnesota head coach was in 21 against Ohio State, who went on to win the Rose Bowl. I'm just saying, this is what he does. He's the motivational guy. He got a beat down in Chapel Hill last year. He's going to want to run the football with an experienced offensive line and running back, and I think the weather plays a part here.
I guess what would concern me about my side of things is that you are not a PJ Fleck guy. You've called him like the shtick master.
I am not.
You don't like all the slogans. You've made fun of him a lot in the past. So if you're backing him, that means you do think there is substance behind him this year, which does have me a little bit concerned. I go over to VSiN.com. Become a pro today. You can see the exclusive DraftKings betting splits. 66% of the money on 60% of the bets on North Carolina laying two.
That was my assumption. Yep. What do you always say to me? That tracks.
That tracks.
That tracks. That tracks. So whether it's Max Johnson or Connor Harrell, it doesn't matter. Everybody's on, again, a youthful head coach and Mac Brown, who I believe just turned 74 and is the oldest coach in college football. I'm not age discrimination here. There's nothing going on here. I'm just saying.
Well, PJ, I mean, Fleck, feels like the perfect revenge coach with the colors of the jersey to get himself a nice little blue pill endorsement and make a little extra cash on the way out for that retirement fund.
Similar colors.
Yeah.
I don't disagree.
Right age.
I do think the defense for North Carolina gets better with Jeff Collins.
Yeah.
He'll simplify
things for that
defense.
And also, I love when head coaches just get to focus back on what got them jobs to begin with. Just focus on that defense.
Which is what they do well.
Yeah, coach them up, because not everyone's meant to be a head coach. Everyone's meant to be a leader.
Would agree with that. Hey, we do have a family play which correlates with this game, and that is North Carolina, Minnesota. This is going to be a big game on Fox tonight. It actually,
no, there's going to be a vibe tonight. Tonight's going to be a vibe.
Tonight's vibes?
Yeah, high. Very high.
The vibes are high at VSiN in general.
True.
I would agree. Vibes are high, especially when you have people that have your back, like Bill AD, Brian Musburger, and Steve Cohen. I mean, you just know vibes are, they got all of our back. We're coming back with Stuart Durst, Family Play. Okay, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll have more of a Colorado Buffalo conversation with Brian Howell, who is on the Buffs beat down in Boulder. I don't know about you, Dustin. It's Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I don't know about you, but by far of a full slate tonight in college football, North Dakota State, Colorado is, for me, the game. And we were just talking about North Carolina, Minnesota, two big-time conferences. But for me, it's an FCS team taking on an FBS team down in Colorado with all the expectations, with Deion being the biggest personality in the sport, and a great FCS team catching doubles. Yes, please.
Yeah, and I want to watch future New York Giants starting quarterback Shedeur Sanders and how he handles that.
Oh, you're doing shtick now?
No, I'm just saying, the Giants need a quarterback. He's going to be available in the draft.
You don't want to see Daniel Jones play out the season?
I've seen enough Daniel Jones. I'm good. If I don't
see him in the playoffs 2 years ago, you're right.
You know what I saw? I saw him jump on the back of Saquon Barkley and get carried into the postseason.
That's interesting, because Saquon's generally on the sideline with a boot.
Not that year.
Hold on now. Safe space.
Whoa, Nelly.
Safe space. Okay, let's do this. So we'll talk Colorado Buffalo football. Why don't we were just talking about North Carolina, Minnesota. We are on divergent paths here. I will take the two at home, Minnesota, potentially dicey weather with a coach in Fleck, who's in a revenge spot, got beat down in Chapel Hill last year, offensive lineman returning, best running back returning, although questions of whether I think he's going to play. I'll take the running game of Minnesota, revenge spot. Fleck's been awesome at home. You're on North Carolina, and we do have a family play with professional bettor Stuart Durst, who's also betting this game.
At Monotone Football with 1L, all over props in every sport, and he does like a player prop when it comes to North Carolina at Minnesota. Here's our guy Stuart Durst with his Sharp Money family play.
Sharp Money family play.
Hey guys, Monotone Football here, and we are back. It is officially college football week one, which means I got a football player prop for you. We're going Amarion Hampton over 10.5 receiving yards tonight for North Carolina. Cashed this number last season against Minnesota with 22 receiving yards, and he went over an 8 of 12 total games. If you're not familiar, he's one of the best pure running backs in the nation. He is going to touch the ball at least 25 25 times. And while Minnesota does have a bit of a leaky rush defense, they really focused in on him. They limited him to under 50 yards last season. I think that's clearly going to be the plan of attack. So what do? The passing game looks way different. You don't have Tez Walker. You don't have Drake May anymore. Instead, we have a two quarterback rotation. I think they're going to really focus in on getting short and easy completions to start the game. And if your running back, your star running back, the heart and soul of your team, isn't able to get it going on the ground, I think they're going to have to get him involved in the short passing game. And I think they've had all offseason to look at creative ways to get the ball in his hands. Love this look. I think he crushes 10.5 receiving yards.
I do like the Amorian Hampton is a pro. He rushed for 1504 last year and 15 touchdowns. And with the rotation, and we're going to hear from Mac Brown here, but with the Johnson and Harrell rotation, by the way, talking about Max Johnson, like he's a big time quarterback. Can we just pump the brakes a little bit?
He's experienced.
He's Cam Rising experience. With the rotation starting tonight, again, don't love when a season starts, a la Michigan, trying to figure out who your quarterback is, but I digress. Omarion Hampton is by far the best player on that offense, and over 10.5 receiving yards. Don't hate it.
Yeah, and I'd argue in Max Johnson's defense, it doesn't matter how long you stay in there. It still counts against your record.
Still plug away.
Still counts.
Now, we mentioned Mack Brown, who recently turned 74. He is the head coach at North Carolina, back at North Carolina after a couple stops along the way, had a great run at Texas, very charismatic. And I believe we have the North Carolina head coach talking about his quarterbacks here, big guy.
Juggling the two quarterbacks here, Johnson and Harrell, how's it going to go down? This is what Mack Brown had to say.
We will have both quarterbacks ready, and we would play them based on how the game would dictate. When you go into the game, there'll be some that'll hear this and say, he said he's going to play two quarterbacks. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. There'll be some that say, I can't believe they don't have a quarterback. They don't even have one. And there'll be some that say, oh, gosh, maybe we got two quarterbacks. And really and truly, they're both good. They're both good enough to win. But we've got to figure out what during the game works the best to win the game. And that's it.
That sounded like a guy that just came home to his wife, and he ended up staying out at the bar with his boys about 2 extra hours. And he's like, look, you can look at it one of two ways. I'm getting tremendous bonding time, and you trust me, so I felt comfortable staying out. Or my point is, when you start making excuses and over-explaining things, you're probably saying we don't know what we have at quarterback.
Oh, the Diamondbacks take the lead. Let's go.
Let's go.
Two-run shot, Randall Grichuk. 2-1 snakes, two outs in the third. You know what it felt like? I don't have a grandfather. Well, I do. I just don't have a relationship with him.
R.I.P.
One's dead, one's alive. I just don't know him. He's a stranger. Mack Brown felt like everyone's TV grandfather there. You go over, he's sneaking you Werther's Originals under the table. he thinks like you want the butterscotch candy, like it's delicious. He's like, come on, just take it. I know. It's not going to mess up your dinner. I promise. That's what he felt like.
It's pretty funny. Two-run shot for the Snakes. We laid it with them earlier in the program, and we do have another baseball game starting in about 50 minutes with the A's and Reds. I've got to play. The big guy's got to play. So we're going to talk about that coming up in just a bit. Earlier in the program, we wanted to discuss a potential line move. Let me just take a look at the number right now. And that was the Jets, who are going to be on Monday night at San Francisco. It's 3.5 everywhere. And what we did is we played John Lynch calling out Ayuk and his representation, which is important. And then Kyle Shanahan essentially saying, I'm preparing to play without Trent Williams, best left tackle in football, and Ayuk, a very good wide receiver too. So but leads me to a motivated Jets team after the debacle that was last year with a healthy Rodgers. I'll take the hook on that important number of 3. I'll take the 3.5 before it starts to move down. That's my assumption, that we might see a 3. Maybe it gets pushed back up with late action, but I think we might end up sniffing a 3. May not. Now, I bring that up because I want to transition. We were just talking about Colorado, and we are going to go to Boulder coming up in just a few minutes and talk to Brian Howell, who's on the beat there in Boulder for Colorado. Colorado is one of those teams in college football this year where there's myriad opinions. The Colts could be very similar in the NFL, and it simply starts with Anthony Richardson. But there are questions about what the Colts are going to be. And let's take a look at the number quickly in division when we're talking about the Colts. Okay, so AFC South, they are your third betting favorite, and it's not a crazy number. It's not. It's a little bit shorter than you would think, with Houston plus 105, the Jags 2.5-1, and the Colts at plus 340. Kind of in that tweener zone where people are just like, yeah, I don't know. An 8.5 on the number is mirrored the 8.5 of the Jags, who get two home games and they stay in London this year. So that feels like it's a team that's been successful there. And I call them home games because they're very comfortable there. The Colts and Jags are sitting similarly at 8.5.
Yeah.
I know you want to jump in, but it does the one feels to me on paper, the Jags like the better football team.
Yeah, there's a lot of sharp people who really like the Colts. So I was surprised by this because I was listening to Chris Ballard, the GM's press conference today. He's been there since 17. He's been there like since 2017. Obviously, Andrew Luck retired after he got there. That messes with things. But a question was asked, and I thought Chris Ballard was a donk. But then he gave this answer. Now, he sounds like a donk when he gives the answer, but listen to the words he says here. When a reporter flat out says, why should you be the GM of this team?
The last 3 years not making the playoffs, it's a disappointment. I'm not going to sit here and say it wasn't. But I still have a very strong belief in what we're doing, how we're doing it, and how we're going to get there. And that will not work. Either you believe for something or you believe nothing. Like, it's easy to vacillate. Easy to vacillate and go with what the world wants you to do. You either believe in something or you don't. This is what we believe. If it gets me fired, so be it.
Okay. Little tough guy approach from Ballard. It's a guy that has been broadcasting for 20-plus years and mixed up my cliches. I believe it's stand for something or fall for anything.
Well, he said you can fire me. And honestly, it's kind of a miracle he hasn't been fired. Philip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan gave them all one last dying breath in the NFL before moving on. It's kind of insane that he's still the GM of this team and getting a chance to rebuild everything from scratch after just trying to patch it together with veterans on their last legs to start things off post-Andrew Luck.
Questions about Anthony Richardson's accuracy? There are no questions about his value in fantasy.
No.
Because of his ability to run the football. And Jonathan Taylor, the one tricky thing about Jonathan Taylor is I think a lot of those red zone looks will be designed runs for Richardson. So something to take note of when thinking fantasy. When we come back, you got Colorado hosting North Dakota State tonight. Brian Howell's on the Buff beat in Boulder. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Certainly anticipated matchup tonight. North Dakota State, a powerhouse in the FCS, taking on Dion and Colorado. Right now, the number is Colorado laying 10.5. I do see a couple of 11s popping up. Remember that number yesterday was 9.5. Some Colorado money coming in right now to discuss Colorado football. A gentleman that's been covering the Buffalo since 2010, Brian Howell, is going to join us here on the program. Buff Zone and Boulder Daily Camera Colorado beat writer at Brian Howell 33 on Twitter on the Progressive Guest Line. Brian, first off, thank you for joining us. My assumption is last year and this year is a little different than the other years you've covered Colorado football.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah, it's quite a bit different. Yeah, whole new world covering Deion Sanders as opposed to, Carl Durrell, Mike McIntyre, people like that.
I can't think of a more disparate personality than Carl Durrell and Deion Sanders, but that's either here nor there. In the betting world, Brian, there are a lot of questions. There are many people that are really in on this Colorado team and others that say it's a house of cards because there's top end talent, but not a ton of depth. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
Yeah, I disagree with that assessment. I think there is depth. I think they didn't have it last year, but I think they've got a lot more of it this year. And, especially at some key spots. I mean, I think their defensive line is deep. I think their offensive line has got some depth to it. Their secondary as well. And, they've got 4-star receivers, but beyond that, they got a bunch of guys that are just as talented that could probably start at a lot of places. So I disagree they don't have a lot of depth. I mean, I think they're much better equipped this year to handle the rigors of a Big 12 schedule than they were last year.
Speaking of last year, a start that was very spirited. Can you walk us through the machinations of the 2023 season for Colorado and what you saw from the inside from this football team?
Yeah, certainly that hot start. And I think they probably caught TCU by surprise a little bit and had and kind of rode that wave in week one. And just were better than Nebraska week two and, got through Colorado State. But I think once they hit the conference, that's when some of the, the lack of depth really showed up is, they would get a few injuries here and there and they couldn't really sustain it. And I think that's a big reason why they went 1-8 down the stretch. And, they didn't get blown out a lot. They did against Oregon and certainly Washington State, but they were in games. And I think that you could flip around if they actually had some depth at certain spots.
We're talking to Brian Howell, covers the Colorado Buffaloes there in Boulder for a long time, at Brian Howell 33 on Twitter, North Dakota State, at Colorado Tonight. Colorado right now laying 10.5 all the way up to 11. So, Deion, I have to ask you, so Deion never is going to lack confidence. Last year, certainly confident, Brian. Have you noticed difference? We've heard, obviously, about maybe some of the drama with reporters. Has there been a different Deion this year, or is he pretty authentic this year, the same as last year?
It's maybe different a little bit in that, getting the land last year, I think maybe...
Okay, let's go ahead and pull Brian Howell down. We'll establish a connection. So he did say, if those of you missed it watching on television and listening on the radio, maybe a little bit different as far as the Deion approach from last year to this year. It feels like he's got his feet under him this year. Now, again, if there's a genuine article or somebody that's certainly authentic, that's always going to be Deion Sanders, and he's never going to lack confidence. And he saw that last year. I think from the outside looking in, I just felt like maybe there's some cracks with the way he's handled reporters and banning a reporter from the press conferences.
Yeah, and he doesn't want any criticism. It's a really weird thing to be when you want to do great things, but you don't want to deal with any of the critics.
He's certainly building a perception of Colorado football. The one thing I will say about Deion is I kind of thought he was just using this as a passing post, like stopping by Colorado to get a bigger job. And I don't think he looks at it that way. I think he looks like, the Colorado I grew up with, Bieniemy and others. I think he looks at it as college football. The landscape is very different these days. You can win anywhere. And he's got the cowboy hat on. He's got the swag. He likes it down there in Boulder.
Yeah, and I'd also say for all the detractors, he is also doing some really good things for a lot of young men there. I don't know if you saw it went viral a few days ago, but he asked all the fathers on the team to step up, and he started savings accounts for their children, via, NIL with, donations coming in. He wants the best for his players as humans, and I think that should be applauded as well. Some of the stuff is hard to defend. I totally understand that. But I do think he genuinely cares about being a coach, about growing these guys and getting the most out of them as human beings and players.
Brian Howell is back, Buff Zone and Boulder Daily. Been covering the Buffaloes for a long time, since 2010. Brian, apologize for the connection. We were finishing up the Deion point where you said, maybe he feels like he's got his feet under him in year two a little bit more there in Boulder.
Yeah, and I apologize. I'm driving to the stadium and might have hit a bad spot, but... Okay. Yeah, I think that he's got his feet under him a little bit, and the confidence is still there. I mean, he's the most confident person I've ever been around in my life, and that has not changed this year. So certainly he's got that confidence and believes that they can win every game on their schedule this year.
So speaking of the games, of course, a look ahead potentially to Nebraska. My assumption is the message about North Dakota State is this certainly isn't a team they can overlook.
Yeah, exactly. And, their new defensive coordinator, Robert Livingston, he played at William & Mary, and he was one of those teams that, as a senior, they went into Virginia and beat them. So he's got that experience that he's relaying to the team, that you cannot look over a team like this, and I don't think they will. I think they're excited about being at home and finally getting on the field.
So what we know about North Dakota State with the two quarterbacks returning and obviously an elite run offense, and you wrote recently about kind of a revamped run defense. Now, the Colorado defense couldn't be, Brian, worse than it was last year. Do you expect this run D to be better?
I do. I think they're much better than they were last year. you know, when you look at just the quality of transfers they brought in last year to this year, they were bringing in kind of lower level guys and Power Five back then. Whereas this year they brought in, you know, Power Five starters. You know, Chidozie Nwankwo started 32 games at Houston. You've got guys like that that are coming in. You know, Sam Okunlolo were two of Pitt's top pass rushers last year. B.J. Green was an all-conference player last year. So they've got much better transfers they brought in this year.
Okay, Shedeur Sanders, this is certainly not nepotism. This is a first-round draft pick. He's 35-1 to win the Heisman. Have you been impressed up close with Shedeur Sanders, the quarterback?
Yeah, really impressed. I mean, he is I mean, I don't think it's any question. He's the best quarterback Colorado's ever had as far as passing quarterback. You know, he's really fun to watch. Just impressive in person, just the way he threads the needle, and he's always on target. It's a lot of fun to watch, and, you know, it's not nepotism. You're right. I mean, he's legit and one of the best quarterbacks in the country for sure.
Okay, so our time got shortened, so I'll leave you with this last question. I'm trying to read into your vibes, and it sounds like you feel very comfortable and Colorado feels comfortable going into this game at home tonight against a very good FCS school. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say that's fair. I would expect the Buffs to win, and, you know, I think I give a lot of credit to North Dakota State, and I think they'll hang around, but I do expect Colorado to win this game.
Okay, Brian, drive safely on your way to the game, and thank you for a few minutes here. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Boulder Daily Camera, Colorado beat writer, of course, with the Buff Zone, at Brian Howell 33 on Twitter. That's what you get. Live programming. My man's on the way to cover the game
mountains.
In Boulder. And, you know, did he make the mountains? If you haven't been, aesthetically, there's really nothing like, maybe Utah, there's nothing like driving through Colorado where the mountains are so on such a steep incline, you almost feel claustrophobic. But you know what it really makes you think? It makes you think about America.
Yeah, Lewis and Clark, Kit Carson, look them up, kids. Walk the nation. But what I'd also say is cell phone towers. We haven't found a better way to deal with the mountains. I thought we're pointing up the satellites and stuff. How are the mountains still messing up cell phone interference? Come on.
It's a tremendous question. And also, the conversation with Brian has me questioning my play.
He sounded...
This is gambling, Susan.
Yeah.
He kind of answered some of those questions. Somebody that's on the inside answered some of the questions about the Colorado depth. Now, a lot of that depth that he's talking about is being worked in. We saw the situation with Florida State, to be fair.
Yeah. That would be the concern I have, especially the O-line. Because that's a unit, right? One offensive lineman, two offensive. No, they're working in pretty much a whole new group that's all coming from different places and different systems. Can they come together? That was the weakest of weak spots on the Buffalo's roster a year ago. Can that offensive line game one against a tough team put it together and protect Shedeur Sanders? Because the whole season kind of hinges on that, but more specifically, tonight hinges on that.
I'll be interested to see how they use Travis Hunter tonight as well.
How much?
Who is 60-1. I believe he's still 60-1. We've got the number up right there.
See, he's way down.
Find him. Yeah, he's way down there. 60-1, the two-way player, best cornerback in football, of course, will be used on offense as well. We've got live bullets with baseball coming up. A's Reds next. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, got a lot to do over the next hour and 15, including Bill Bender, the sporting news, talking week one in college football. Week one, fascinating because you have so many matchups between FBS and FCS schools, just like we were just discussing with North Dakota State and Colorado previously. Also, Aaron Halterman's going to stop by, racingdudes.com. We got a bunch of family plays. That's what we do, our objective every day here on Sharp Money. If we got plays, live bullets, we're going to bet them. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. And speaking of which, I was dubious on your team total over 5.5 with the Rockies. I'm no longer dubious because we've cleared that. It's top of five, and the Fish lead the Rockies 8-6. That's a tremendous job by you. We are on the Diamondbacks, and I am also on the under 8.5. We just went middle five. In Arizona, the Diamondbacks do lead the Mets 2-1, so we're looking good there, big guy. Let's move on to a game that's coming up in just about 20 minutes, and that is Oakland in Cincinnati. So the Reds hosting the A's. Ginn's going to make his first major league start as a 25-year-old for Oakland. You got Aguiar for Cincinnati. Right now, Aguiar laying $1.35, Dustin, and 10.5 on the total. Two teams full of power.
Yeah, one thing I like is that it's JT Ginn's first start for Oakland, but it's his third appearance. They brought him in a couple times as a reliever, get him acclimated, get him used to things. So I think that helps with the nerves a bit. He was the 52nd overall pick in 2020 out of Mississippi State. Mets prospect, so I'm familiar with him. Traded in the Chris Bassett deal out to Oakland. I thought he would have made his debut by now. Surprised he spent so long in the minor league system, but he was pretty hyped when he first was drafted. Minor league numbers a little inflated, but also, you know, playing out here in Vegas, the ball does fly out here a lot. I do have a play when it comes to his prop. I'm going to look at his under 2.5 earned runs allowed, Patrick, simply because, one, he doesn't allow a lot of deep fly balls, it looks like, despite having a higher ERA down in the minors. But I also don't know how deep he's going to go into this game. I don't think he's going to be quite an opener, but if he goes 3-4 innings, I don't know if he gets to the fifth. And I think there's a chance they just want to get him some stretched out here today against Cincinnati. So average 4.8 innings per appearance in AAA, has thrown 3 2/3 innings at the major league level. Think he probably gets taken out somewhere around the fourth. First time seeing Cincinnati, obviously, because it's his debut as a starter. That is usually an advantage when it comes to the starting pitcher, so under 2.5 earned runs allowed.
All right, that game coming up in just about 20 minutes. I do just want an update because I know there's a ton I hear from you all the time, soccer bettors. So La Liga right now, Real Madrid and Mbappe, they are trailing Las Palmas 1-0 in the 57th minute. For those that pay attention to global soccer, this would be maybe the upset of the year. So I'm following along there. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, just massive, beyond. It's impossible to explain. I mean, I believe Real Madrid was laying $4.5, so minus 450 in that matchup today just to win. So, yeah, pretty big. Week one, college football. There are 59 games, Dustin, between FBS and FCS schools. One of those isn't number one Georgia versus number 14 Clemson. Okay, so this is a big time headline. And remember, this game's going to be played in Atlanta. Now, maybe you remember, maybe you don't, but 3 years ago, the Bulldogs and the Tigers also kicked off the season, big guy. Obviously, things have changed, and Georgia and Clemson have traded places. So they kicked off the year in 2021, where number 5, Georgia at the time, pulled out a 10-3 win over number 3, Clemson at the time. And of course, Georgia then en route to back-to-back national titles. In that game, I believe Clemson, if memory serves me correctly, was laying 3. So Georgia was a 3-point dog, won outright 10-3. Things have changed. Think about this. From 2021, as we kick off the 2024 season, think about what we're talking about now. Kirby has essentially built a powerhouse, which is conversely what Dabo, and Dabo's still 54 years old somewhere in there, and Kirby's just 49, so we're going to see these guys for years to come. Obviously, a lot of consternation around Clemson and Clemson football because the conversation about the transfer portal. You pointed it out perfectly yesterday. It's not like he's not using Dabo NIL money. He's just using it to pay the guys in-house. Georgia and Kirby a little bit differently. He's paying people NIL money, but he's also going out and getting transfers. So I told you to start the 2021 season, you had Georgia catching 3, an outright winner over Clemson. And this year it's a little different as Georgia is laying 13.5 in Atlanta coming up on Saturday and 48.5 on the total. 48.5 on the total is very important because what did I just tell you? 3 years ago, 13 total points combined. And so we should start there as far as Georgia's defense is going to be ridiculous. Clemson has uber talent on defense as well. Now, they're not as deep as Georgia, and certainly there are questions at quarterback with Klubnik. You know, there are two teams that stand out when I just think of who the hell knows what you're getting at the quarterback position. That is Drew Aller at Penn State and Klubnik at Clemson. Now, we do have Kirby Smart talking about this matchup.
Yeah, here's Kirby Smart meeting with the media a few days ago and had this to say about facing Cade Klubnik at quarterback.
Yeah, it seems like he's been there forever, and this is really his, I guess, his third year. But he's a great, really good athlete. He's played a lot of football for a guy that age. Has the ability to scramble, make plays on his feet. Has more weapons around him. I think he's a lot more comfortable now in their offense. You could see that throughout the year last year. As you watch the season go on, how much more comfortable he got. Especially when they, you know, they start going to feel a lot more as their feature back, and they became a much more physical team. So, you know, the addition of Matt Luke, who's a tremendous coach, was here with us. I think that makes them even more versatile in some of the things he's going to bring to the table. But Cade's been a great asset for them, and I know he'll be, you know, very experienced.
Okay, Georgia coach Kirby Smart talking about Cade Klubnik, of course, quarterback there at Clemson. By the way, if you are thinking of taking, like, the big guy is with Clemson, you can find a 14, for example. I mean, there's plenty of books showing 14. More books showing 13.5, the importance of shopping for the best number and having multiple outs. So how much has changed in 3 years? Well, a lot. Clemson 3 years ago laying 3, big guy. Now it's almost a 2-touchdown favorite. Some shops are showing 2 touchdowns. This is kind of a disrespect angle that Dabo can build against Kirby in Georgia. Now, a couple of things. You have the potential number one draft pick in the 2025 draft under center for Georgia and Carson Beck.
Yeah, we'll see
about
that.
Bigger player. What's that?
We'll see about that.
I said potential.
Yeah. No, I know. There's a lot of people talking about how special he is. We'll see.
Well, this is special. Kirby's gone 42-2 the past 3 years.
Yeah, no, that is.
I'd like to add, they have the best defense in the nation.
As a double-digit favorite, though, 36-29-1 ATS, that's 55%. And remember, a lot of chunk of that 55% is when they're playing the Sisters of the Poor, and they're like 4-touchdown favorites. So this is a different animal. I think we've had a massive overreaction to what Clemson is. As bad as they were a year ago, the defense was still top 10 in total defense and against the pass a couple years ago. Klubnik, the thing is, he just has to finish games. He didn't finish against NC State. He didn't finish against Florida State. He didn't finish against Miami. That is the issue there. He's 20 years old, as Kirby Smart alluded to. For a guy who's 20, he's played a lot of football. And I have a lot of questions about Georgia as a whole. I think they're going to win games. I don't know about covering. Like, I went back and looked. This information's not hard to find. Last two seasons, they're 13-15-1 against the spread. That's a game better than UCLA. One game worse than Akron. Those are not good football programs right now. So Georgia wins. They don't care about style points. They don't care about beating down on people. They just find ways to win. And last year, they were playing with fire routinely. Needed a ton of late comebacks against teams they should have rolled right over. So I look at this matchup. I look at the fact that Carson Beck, in those times in the fourth quarter when he had to make big plays, he looked for Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers. And this year, Ra-Ra Thomas was supposed to be their number one receiver. He got kicked off the team a few weeks ago in camp. I don't know who those weapons are. I'm sure they have them. I'm sure they will emerge at some point. But I have a lot of questions, not about Georgia winning, but about Georgia covering, because I think Clemson is better than they're being given credit for.
They're a top 10 as far as talent, starting 22, Clemson in the country. Now, they're not nearly as talented as Clemson, you and I would agree. I would say, at this point, you are a little concerned if you're taking the 14, which I'm going to as well. You're a little concerned this point in the year. Defenses tend to be a little ahead of offenses. I think Clemson is just way too talented. I think the lack of depth in the run game for the Bulldogs, which will get better as the season progresses, I think maybe that could be an issue. Clemson's very talented on defense. I think they keep it closer than the 2 touchdowns. And if I'm touching the total, I'm going under there.
Yeah, I know a lot of sharp people are going to lay it with Georgia. Our boy Aaron Halterman's going to do it when he joins us next. I know that. So that has me concerned, but I just think it's too many points with Clemson returning so many guys who know their roles.
Well, to quote Chris Ballard, we're on Clemson. You stand for nothing, you fall for anything. Stand on your 10 toes with the Tigers. Coming back with Aaron Halterman.